Okay, good morning. Today's class is the Nishmat, Rechmel Daniel Ben Gedalia, Nishmat Sirim Ben Neima, for Shalema Abra, Daniel Ben Saram, Shalom Ben Yavne, success in Yerush Shemaim, Lishavara, Barava, Gadiel Ben Lishavara, Shev, Meshavara, Emma Lishavara, Edomakova Tobasha, and Emmet Ben Lishavara. Rabbi Zhat Hashem, again, I'm very sorry for Tuesday night. The event is completely oversold out. Not sold out, oversold out. We already opened up even more tickets. There's nothing we could do. We're getting hundreds of messages. And also, I don't want people sitting in people's laps. And the people that do go there, I don't want people to have people in their face. It has to be this is going to be a very, very, very special class. It's taken me almost weeks to prepare it. And every day it's getting better and better, Bezrat Hashem, and we don't want to have where too much people can't hear and all that. So we have to stop the ticket. And obviously we've mentioned this 1,000 times, and you can't procrastinate to the end. So next year, Bezrat Hashem, or maybe in Ella, we'll come back in a bigger venue, Bezrat Hashem. All right, today's class, we're going to talk a little bit about lesson 12 in the Likutei Moran. Very, very important. Also, please rate and share the podcast. The reason why I want you to do it is because the more ratings I get, the better chance I can get Joe Dispenza on. And that's really what I want to do. I want to start getting like very, very big speakers like Joe Dispenza and really bringing, you know, the spirituality of Reb Nachman to modern science. So I need the ratings just so people could see, oh, the podcast is successful, etc. People will be most likely to be on it. So we do need the ratings. Again, not that I care if you rate me or not. It's good for the people need to see, oh, he's got this amount of ratings. So far, we have like 500 or 600 ratings, which is very, very good. But to get like big people, like I really want to get, because this way, if we start getting guys like Joe Dispenza on and you start bringing Kabbalah and modern science, you're opening up to a whole different world. And this is what we need to bait people in. And then we'll get them with Shmirat HaBrit. But we need to first get the bait in. So this is why I need people, again, tell other people to rate it, etc. This is the only reason why I need these ratings. Okay, today's class, we're going to talk about very, very special things. A few things that we're just going through, just the energy of the air. Obviously, as far as for me, this week has definitely been a character-building week for me. This Omer time has been a tremendous character-building week, month. I don't remember the character-building this tough lately. But obviously, whenever there's pain, there's a lot of growth. But it's been tremendously. It's every single day. It's like it seems to be like we have to have new character. Yesterday, just driving home, there was the train was stuck on the road, and it was like three hours in the car. I mean, imagine building that Wim Hof breathing for hours and hours and patience. This is exactly what character building is all about. We need to build character. Talent without character is nothing. This is why we need to go through these 49 days. At the end of the day, you want to get to Shavuot, and you want to become a different person. And I would tell you exactly these 49 days, it's exactly the same recipe as in recovery. They got free light one day. Next thing you know, you want to get to the same level where you don't feel your ego and you feel like the same light that you get when you use. Now you're going to go through 49 days or go to rehab to get yourself back to that original place. It's exactly the 49 days, this Omer counting, is exactly the same recipe as recovery, drug recovery. It's to get a person back to the true self. And this is why these times, it seems to be so much work to do. There's a good segula to do, which I particularly do, which I don't know if I've spoken about it, but the Baal Shem Tov says, right before Shabbat, maybe take 20 minutes before Shabbat, 30 minutes before Shabbat, and read Psalm 107. I usually have a little L'chaim right before Shabbat, and I read Psalm 107, and that has a tremendous potential to open up your heart and talk to God in your own voice. Put some music on, have a little L'chaim, get yourself in a good mode of higher consciousness. Again, Reb Nachman says, a little is good. Not we're not talking about Alcoholics Anonymous at Kiddush clubs. Not that kind of over-drinking that I've seen. People just go crazy. Reb Nachman says, a little is good, but a little can open up your consciousness and pour your heart out. And what we're really talking about in Psalm 107 is really the four things you went through this week. You're talking about you're thanking God for the four things, you know, for being saved. You know, our sages say, a person got saved from the ocean, he got saved from going to jail, sickness, or when he crossed air, he has to show gratitude. And this is the emotional state that we feel this week. We feel like we're completely, I had no energy. Yesterday, there was a time where I felt like I had no energy. Other times our emotions are running over the place. Other times we feel completely dry. The past person passes the dry desert. He feels completely dry. Other times a person feels engulfed by waters. So these are times that it's going to happen to all of you. And at the end of, right before you're going into Shabbat, you're actually going and thanking God for being saved from all of these things. So it's a very good thing. It opens up the heart. It's a good 20 minutes. A good 20 minute is bodhidud right before Shabbat. Even, start Shabbat early. Have a l'chaim, or a woman, light your candle early, especially right now. There's no business waiting till the last minute. Like people buy tickets to the last minute, and then nothing happens at the end of the day. You want to be able to go into with tremendous amount of light. Thank God I can. It's a tremendous recipe for all of us to do. Take 20 minutes earlier. Have a little l'chaim. Put some, whatever, I know you can't put music on, but do what you have to do. Put yourself in a good spirit and pour out your heart to God. And then that sense of pouring out your heart to God gives you a tremendous amount of calmness. And this is what we're all looking for. We're looking for a sense of this calm confidence that everything's going to be okay. Whatever I had to do during the week, it was meant to be. And I'm now there's nothing left to do, but now going into enjoyment. And those who don't keep Shabbat, you're cutting yourself short of so much. You're cutting yourself. Remember, just like your body keeps score, your soul keeps score also. Your soul needs a refresh. It can't handle this world. It's too much. This world is, Rav Nachman says, there is no Olam Hazeh here. And to today, I can tell you, even in, like we said before, even in Los Angeles, they want Mashiach. And that's a sign of telling you, that's it. Mashiach should have came home, should have came after that speech. Mashiach, everybody wants to, yes! Should have came right away. I was waiting. But it is what it is. So we're going to talk about a couple states that Rav Nachman gives us a couple of sigulot, a couple of things we could all do. There's four that just to try to stay sane today. Today is not even about, we can run. Remember, we spoke about yesterday that we do have these two states of running and returning. Running is when things are running. And there's a lot of returning today. Returning is being stuck, not knowing what to do. So what are practical techniques that we can really, really get? What do I use practically when I'm stuck or when I see an emotion that I don't like, I feel like this could be a membership for a week? I need to snap out of it. So remember, the purpose of any emotion is to change motion. Our Creator does not want us to sit there in self-pity and wait for things to change. No, you have to change your emotion. Because when we don't change our emotion, we can have the being danger of being stuck in that place. So first, obviously, the first one is obviously turn the dollar to the hay, right? We speak about that many, many times. This is why I always wear belts that say, hey, Hermes, hey, I remember the hay constantly. Bring back the hay, bring back the hay. That's a typical tool that anytime we're thinking in Dalut, that means in that tool, your head's still on in your head. That means you're okay. You're not lost in the day. Just you had a little couple hiccups in the day. You're in a little Dalut. You're a little bit of a negative mindset. That's a quick pick-me-up. Go from the Dalut to the Hey. Dalut means I'm not thinking of it correctly. Add the Yud, which is the positive thought, and bring back the Hey. That's cognitive behavioral therapy. Well, basically, you're changing the meaning. You change the meaning, you change the feeling. It's a very practical dollar to the hay. That's if you have your, again, that is if you have your head on your shoulders. We're going to talk about level down when you don't have your head and what to do. So it's a great tool. The second tool is also, again, this dollar to the hay can be applied to, for example, you lost a business deal. Okay, everything's meant to be. Go back to the hay. That's when you still have some kind of level of trust. The second one is a zamra. Second practical tool is a zamra. It means I will sing. I will sing with what I have. I will sing with what's going good in the day. Instead of focusing on what's going wrong, a zamra means I'm going to sing with whatever I got. Hashem, I woke up late today, but I still went to the mikvah. Hashem, I did this, but I still did this today. You're focusing on the good points. Yes, I'm black, but I'm still beautiful. So you could see that's not as great as Dalit versus the Hay. That's a little less of a level because now you're just trying to build momentum in danger of not falling into low self-esteem and to failure and to thoughts of failure. You're just singing out with what you got. Whatever I got right now, Hashem, I'm going to bring it to you. So you can wake up, when does he wake up late, days that you overdid it. I overate, but I still said Birkat HaMazon with Simcha. That's a Zamra. That means you made a mess, but you're coming back not out of shame, out of embarrassment, singing. That's a great tool also. Because we do sin, we do make mistakes, and we can't beat ourselves up. That's not what heaven wants from you. Heaven wants you to start, remember our sages say, very simple. Depart from evil and do good. So you could make a mess, but at least I'm cleaning up with simcha. So that's also level below Dalit versus the Hay, which is lower. It means you made a mess, you got to sing now. What else are you going to do? Versus focusing on failure and falling to low self-esteem. The third one is where things become, now you're not even a Zamra anymore. Now you're in chaos mode already. Things are, now anger's developing. Things are chaotic in your life. Things are, you have massive control issues. Basically, when Chava came to the world, she screwed everything up. She wants to take rule. She wants to control everything. So anytime now we start getting the control issues, things start becoming completely chaotic. What do you need to do? That tool is humble up. It's koach ma. Go back into ma. Meditate on ma. Where have you lost your control? Because you're not even singing a Zamra now. Because now you're too busy controlling everything. You're getting angry. But you're still on the sideline. You're in the game and the silent at the same time. That means you see chaos in your life. You see everything going in disorder. Everything going against your will. It's because you're arrogant. It's a sign of a lot of control. It's a sign of a lot of anger, a lot of fear. That means you're just trying to take control. You're trying to take the ego, edges got out. So that tool is needed to go back to humility. That means start over, reset, humble up. Humble up, gotta humble up. Bring back ma. 45 represents this order, represents order. 19 represents this order. 45 is Adam. Chava is 19. The numerical value is 26. You took the 26 out of the picture. Bring it back. And when you bring it back, the ego edges got out. Go back to humility. And things will go back to order. That is koach ma. That's 45. That's makshava. A makshava is a thought in Hebrew. Makshava. Hashuv. Return to ma. Go back to ma. That's a meditation of ma. I had to do that this week. I saw a lot of chaos. So I recognize the Zamra is not working. Dalit versus Hay is not working. But too much chaos. Then maybe there's arrogance here. So creator of the world, there must be some arrogance if there's too much chaos. Something I'm trying to control, whatever it is. Anytime there's arrogance, anytime there's too much chaos, go back to ma. Basically, when you're saying there's no, all my dates are terrible, go back to humble up. It's not the dates, it's you're too picky. Humble up. Humble up. Nothing else to do but to humble up and go back to ma on that one. The good thing about all these things is when you have dad now. Anytime you know where to go, now you're taking the chaos and bringing it back to sanity. You're connecting back to, remember, all solutions back to the Torah. At the end of the day, every situation is spiritual. Every problem is spiritual. You're just going back to the Torah. The Torah itself is going to guarantee you the salvation in that area. Now, what happens if you can't even go back to humility and you've fallen into to very, very dirty places, very, very dark places where you don't even know if there's a God? Believe it or not, that's out there also. That's something I haven't really spoken that much about, this one. And that one's called Ayeh. Ayeh means, where are you? Where is God in my life? Where is he? You're so lost in your life. And where do we know this? Ayeh mekom kevado? which is the highest light, but it comes from the dirty place, the worst, the most darkness. When Abraham had to sacrifice Yitzhak. Can you imagine telling you sacrifice your son? Ayeh mekam kevado. Ayeh, where are you? The concept of ayeh, where are you? So let's talk about that Torah. Rav Nachman begins that Torah by saying, when a person follows his own intellect and cleverness, he can fall into mistakes and pitfalls and come to great evil, God forbid. Therefore, there are those who have caused tremendous damage, like the most famous outstanding villains who led the world astray. These two particular villains were the Shabbatai Tzvi. Shabbatai Tzvi was a false Mashiach. 60% of the population was for him. They thought he was Mashiach. Next thing you know, he ended up becoming an Arab. And people were just completely broken. They didn't even know where to go. You put all your eggs in one, it's like put today, the stock market. Putting all your eggs in one basket, next thing you know, you don't even know where to go. Your hope is gone. And the second one was Jacob Frank, who started this also. Jacob Frank led a lot of Jews into, God forbid, very clever ideas that ended up becoming completely, people lost their faith. They became too smart to have faith, pretty much. That was Jacob Frank. And those two have led the Jews to a tremendous amount of, very similar to the concept of the Hellenist, who believe, yeah, you could be a Jew, but don't learn Torah. Don't learn Torah. Same thing. Fall into philosophy. And today, we see this today, God forbid. There's a lot of people just into philosophy. They're not into the Torah aspect. They think they're too smart to have faith. At the end of the day, they have nothing. At the end of the day, absolutely nothing. So Rav Nachman tells us that a person can get to such a place, such a dirty place, such a place of complete concealment, and that there is times that people fall to the most terrible decline, and then they fall to such a very, very low place. There are some who fall so low that the only thing they have is called filthy places. This is today, the world of pornography, it's a filthy place. You fall in such a low place. Such people can come racked with doubts, morbid thoughts, mental turbulence. Their heart races because of every klipa that torments and surrounds their hearts with every type of confusion. They're under the water, pretty much under the water. This was me, by the way. I was there. I was there when I had this issue with, right before I found Rabbi Nachman's light, I was absolutely here. And I screamed out, ayeh. I screamed out without saying, ayeh, where are you, God? That was my call, by the way. And that's where I got the light, by the way. That's where I found advice. You need to scream, and then the parachute comes, and then the floater comes. But then you got to grab it. A lot of us scream, then it comes. Oh, not for me. No, breast, not for me. So there's a lot of it. Once you do scream, you do get some kind of salvation. You do get a hint. You do get a hear-hoor of coming back. But then at the end of the day, you got to grab it. It seems to them impossible to find God in such places. And they ask, where is the place of glory? The more one sees from far from glory, the more grief-stricken he should become. Through this, the very searching and searching for God, these anguish and questions, is the ultimate ascend. So I showed yesterday, it was beautiful. My friend Isaac, he wrote the compass of consciousness. So I showed people in recovery that you can be in such a low level that right before the lowest level is the greatest light of surrender. Do you understand? And they love that. They love to see the visual. Because if you don't see this visually, you don't see it. But the fact that how does it all start? First it starts with pain. Then you go into a comfort zone. Then the ego takes over and starts blaming other people for your problems in life. And what's the next step after you blame everybody? Well, that doesn't work. Then you hit rock bottom. But in rock bottom itself is the place of surrender. It's right next to surrender. That's the time where you actually call out to God. That's the beginning of the light. So this is exactly what Rav Nachman's saying here. When you're in a place of rock bottom, there's only one thing to do is scream out to God. You can't think your way out of it. You can't go to the Dalet versus the Hay. You can't go into Ma because there's so much chaos. that there's nothing but your heart to scream out to God. Baruch Hashem, Biden has done a good job of getting people to scream out to God. Baruch Hashem. This president, it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. The more inflation goes up, the more people are screaming out to God. But they're screaming at other things. But we at least can scream out to God. That is what Reb Nachman called Ayeh. Ayeh Mikom Kovod. That is rock bottom, by the way. When you hit rock bottom, Azamra is not rock bottom. Dalet to the Hay is not rock bottom. This is rock bottom. Where you have nothing else to do. You can't think. You can't do nothing. But scream out, where are you, God? And say, I've hit rock bottom. That is the ultimate level of surrender. Believe me, we all get there. That's exactly what happened with Avraham and Ayeh, Ayeh Mikom Kovado. And Reb Nachman tells us, because this place is so filthy and such a dirty place, that because, remember, in order, you have to go to sometimes very, very dirty places in order to get to heights. But it has to get really bad in your life where you have nothing but the word Ayeh. You have to get in such a place of vulnerability, in such a place of pain, that there's nothing else to say. And when you do that, that is the beginning. That's why it's called, not, you would say, how could something called rock bottom be called a gift? Why do they call it the gift of rock bottom? Because when you hit this place of rock bottom, even if you're an atheist, I don't know what you believe in, you're going to scream out somewhere. You're going to scream out for help. That means your ego completely got crushed. That's what pain does to us. Pain kills the ego. It crushes the ego. This is why we don't, if we really knew that pain crushes the ego, right? Then we should invite it in and say, come on in. You should say, welcome pain. But our ego doesn't like it. You understand? The ego doesn't like the pain. So therefore pushes it away and makes it more concealment. But if you really knew, you would say a bracha every single time you had pain. If you knew how great it is for you. Very hard to deal with. I can't tell you I'm at that level where I say, welcome, thank you Hashem for all this pain. We're not at that level. We're in galus between you and me. We're very few of us are in that mental state that we could say, after we get knocked out a little bit, we think about it, we get back up, and we say, you know what? At the end of the day, it was actually beneficial for me. But we don't say Shechianu and ask the pain to come to us and welcome. We actually ask us to be saved from all this. But at the end of the day, this is what these 49 days are about. You're forced to cry out, you're forced to scream out. You know, in LA, I saw the dating over there. People should be screaming, Ayeh, where are you, God? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Because nobody's even in the game. So nobody wants to commit. Ayeh. That's the time of asking God for complete surrender, complete crying out to Him. And this is where the word for Ayeh, it's called the word where. Ayeh means where. Ma means what. Ayeh means where. Where in the world are you? Ma means what am I thinking? Who am I to even question you? Ayeh means I'm not even there. So it's unbelievable how Reb Nachman says, wherever you are in the totem pole here, there's a solution for you. It's not such thing as despair. That means, okay, thank you. You've hit the gift of rock bottom. Where else can I get enough leverage? And I'm dealing with addicts all the time. When they say, I need help, I surrender, I know nothing. Oh, thank you. I can finally teach them. Now is the beginning of the beginning. Now is the beginning of the momentum. But until they say, I don't have a problem, they're not there. We have to get to a point where we get to the point where we say, Ayeh, God help me. That cry from the heart goes to the highest place in heaven, because there's nothing but truth in that cry. And this is why, again, having just serving your Creator without emotions, without screaming out, without asking for help, what else do you get? You get nothing but cold, and you get limbless, and you start losing your faith, and you fall into what? All kinds of cleverness, and all kinds of philosophies, and all kinds of heresy, and all kinds of, you fall into, next thing you know, you're hanging out with the Buddha, and next thing you know, you're here. Do you understand? You can fall, when you're in down place, it's not a time to go jump to another, go find another religion. That's the time to say, oh my God, I've fallen to such a low, and you know where I got this? I never forget this. When I was dating, before I got married, all of a sudden I think it was 18 or 19. Who knows what happened in those years? But those years were, I never forget this point. All of a sudden, I'm dating some girl, and she tells me she's Jewish. Okay, you know, back then when you don't want to hear, back then when you don't really want to hear so much, you're not looking underneath the hood, because you're focusing more on the looks than sometimes you don't want to hear, so you don't ask. Okay, you're Jewish, good enough. We're not asking you if you're mother, but. No problem, you're Jewish. Sounds great. Obviously, that was back then. And all of a sudden, I said, where do you pray? Where do you go to synagogue? Some place in Hialeah. I said, Hialeah? What kind of place is in Hialeah? I said, something's fishy about this. But again, because I said, do I know every synagogue in the world? So obviously, I went where my Yetzirah went. And next thing you know, she says, come to services with me. Services with you? Okay. So next thing you know, I'm in this Jews for Jesus thing. Shem Yerachem. Shem Yerachem. I ran so fast out of there. I said, where the hell am I? Aye, that's aye. You went to such a low level that here you are in a Jews for Jesus synagogue, for God's sake. Just to show you where you can go in places. Me. But that is aye. That's where, and when the fact that I was there, the cry from the heart, like, where in the world am I? That's what I'm talking about. Where you're completely so lost that you don't even know where to begin. Like, where? How in the world did I get here? Ask me, how in the world did I get there? Period. So we all get there, by the way. You're all going to have this experience of aye. That's when you're completely out of bounds and you're asking for the ball. You're just out of bounds. And this is all because, remember, we fell from the dal to the hay. If you did the dal to the hay, then you wouldn't fall into Azamra. If you fell from Azamra, where are you going to go? You're going to end up going to chaos, which you need now. You need to humble up. But if you don't humble up, you fall into this. And even this is a solution. Because there's so much concealment that only a scream of Ayeh would help you. But remember, it can't be a scream. It can't be Ayeh where you're screaming out, where are you, God? And then God says, I'm here. Oh, no, not for me. No. That means if somebody's coming to save you, take the gun. Take the thing. When I screamed out and the book advice came, that was my savior. Then after advice came Tikkun HaKlali. Tikkun HaKlali is your Ayeh right now. It's funny, today's actually Netzach Shebeches. I'm sorry, today's actually Yesod Shebenetzach, which is this area that makes us, Reb Nachman says, the area of our lives that makes us fall into the darkest places is definitely sexual immorality. Sexual immorality will make you fall into the darkest of darkest places. So this is something that we have. But remember, when you're screaming out Ayeh, when you're screaming out Ayeh, when you're really screaming out from your heart, then you have to take the momentum. And that is the gift of rock bottom today. When an addict says, I don't know anything, I'm surrendering, that's his form of saying Ayeh. When you surrender practically, when today you say surrender, I don't know anything, I'm teachable, I'm crying out from the heart, I will do anything and anything. That is your Ayeh. So again, let's review. First, Dalet versus the hay. That's when you're in a good state. You occasionally fall out emotionally, but your dat is there. Your mental is there. You're doing okay, but you fall in. You start looking at some expectation that didn't go your way. You start building a little resentment. For example, say you have a shalom bayit problem. What are you focusing on? What went wrong? How do you do? You add the yud. You recognize you're not thinking straight. You're in a dalid. You're in a dalud mindset. You add the yud by thinking positively, finding the good, change the feeling, change the meaning, then you get back to the hay. Reb Nachman tells us when we go from a dalet to the hay, then you recreated the day. Anytime I go from a negative thought or a negative feeling to a positive feeling, it's like I recreated the day. Because practically, if I say at 11 o'clock, oh, my day's shot. Bad news, my day's shot. The day's dalut. It's done. The day's done. At 11 o'clock, you said the day's done. But let's say you said, you know what? Let me give it another shot. Let me think positively. Let me focus on the good, what good could be from this. You just added the yud. That dalet, remember, the hey is originally, the dalet is originally, it was supposed to be a hey. And the last, that's the last hey of God's name. So Reb Nachman always says, dalet to the hey. You're adding the yud, going back to the hey. That's practical CBT therapy. Yeah, that you need to do 20 times a day. Find the hay. Bring back the hay. Bring back the hay. Just buy a Hermes belt so you remember. And you think about the hay all the time. I have hays all over the place. Second is a zamra. When you're feeling low self-esteem. When you're thinking about all negative. All negative. All you're thinking is you don't see any good points in yourself. That's where you need self-compassion. That's where you need to focus. I will sing. I'm just going to sing today. Yes, this is not working. I'm singing to you every day. Hashem, my Friday looks terrible, but I have Shabbat coming. That's singing. Azamra, I'm singing. Shabbat's coming. What do I care? Let the day go to whatever. I'm still singing because Shabbat's coming. You're still singing regardless. I made a mistake. I'm still singing. My Shalom Bayit looks like Gaza. Thank you. I'm still married. I'm still singing. You're still singing. As long as you still sing, you can't fall. Reb Nachman says, get into a habit of always singing. Eventually, the singing will get you back to the dalet versus the hay. Okay, you know what? I'm looking at it the right way. Actually, the singing will get you there. You'll get your head back through joy, and then joy, you're going to exit out of the strategy. By the way, you need to do a lot of zamra if you're married in 2022. I don't know what, but you need to do a lot of zamra. It's either resentment or focusing on what they have. Pretty much, either you're going to focus on the resentment of that person, what they're not doing for you, or you're focusing on what they're doing from you. So if you're not using that tool of a zamra, which means I will sing, I will see the positive in that person, then you're going to fall into chaos, guaranteed. The third one, obviously, we just spoke about, is when things are chaotic in your life. That means there's major control and fear issues. Major anxiety, control, and fear issues. You're just trying to take everything by the... You're just trying to grab and control everything. That's where you have to completely surrender, put the white flag up, and say. And the last one is ayah, where you're so lost and you've hit rock bottom. That's ayah. So these are four practical tools that we can all use, whatever state you're in, to deal with chaos or to deal with anything, to deal with negativity. And that usually gets you back to focus. Hashem, help us all. We should all, again, we need practical advice. All Reb Nachman says, I don't want you to learn my teachings for the history. I want you to focus on the practical advice out of it. That's all he said. What practicality can you get out of my advice from this? Have a great day.